ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। A little word to management. This should be a little higher. Your feet is about this. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So, special day. Special verse for a special day. Today we'll depart from the sequence of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we have been following to revisit the first canto, the 8th chapter, and the 31st verse of the prayers of Queen Kunti. We're doing this because it is a special day. What is this special day? Deepavali! And what is the special thing that happens on this special day for us? Dhamadhar Leela! Hari Hari! So, I was requested to take a little other path from the pastimes of Sobari Muni, which would not be so appropriate for today, and enter into the pastime of Yashoda Damodar. So this verse that we've have on the board today gives us a good entrance into this pastime, as it is Queen Kunti reflecting on this pastime. So we will chant together. Let me Gopya dare tai krita gasi dama thavad. Yate dasasru kali lanjana sambramaksham. Vatram nintya baya bhavanaya stitasya. Samam vimohayati bhirapi yad viveti. Gopi, the cowherd lady Yashoda, Adade took up Trayi Anur Kritagasi, creating disturbances by breaking the butter pot. Dhamma, rope, Tavat, at that time. Ya, that which. Te, your. Dasha, situation. Asru Kalila, overflooded with tears. Anjana, ointment. Sambrama, perturbed. Aksham, eyes. Vaktram, face. Niniya, downwards. Bayabhavanaya, by thoughts of fear. Stitasya, of the situation. Sa, that. Mam, me. Vimohayati, bewilders. Bhi api, even fear personified. Yat, whom. Bibheti, is afraid. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Purport. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's being the Supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of His pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only. And while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of His devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection without anything of reverential admiration. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude, but the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, consider him a child only. The Lord accepts the chastisements of the parents more cheerfully than the prayers of the Vedic hymns. Similarly, he accepts the reproaches of his fiancées more palatably than the Vedic hymns. When Lord Krishna was present in this material world to manifest his eternal pastimes of the transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan as an attraction for the people in general, he displayed a unique picture of subordination before his foster mother Yashoda. The Lord, in his naturally childish, playful activities, used to spoil the stocked butter of Mother Yashoda by breaking the pots and distributing the contents to his friends and playmates, including the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, who took advantage of the Lord's munificence. Mother Yashoda saw this, and out of her pure love, she wanted to make a show of punishment for her transcendental child. She took a rope and threatened the Lord that she would tie him up, as is generally done in the ordinary household. Seeing the rope in the hands of Mother Yashoda, the Lord bowed down his head and began to weep, just like a child. And tears rolled down his cheeks, washing off the black ointment smeared about his beautiful eyes. This picture of the Lord is adored by Kunti Devi because she is conscious of the Lord's supreme position. He is feared, often by fear personified, yet he is afraid of his mother, who wanted to punish him just in an ordinary manner. Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not. Therefore, Yashoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yashoda got the Lord as her child, and the Lord made her forget altogether that her child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yashoda had been conscious of the exalted position of the Lord, she would certainly have hesitated to punish the Lord. But she was made to forget this situation because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of childishness before the affectionate Yashoda. This exchange of love between the mother and the son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti, remembering the scene, was bewildered, and she could do nothing but praise the transcendental filial love. Indirectly, Mother Yashoda is praised for her unique position of love, for she could control even the all-powerful Lord as her beloved child. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A mother's love, the power of a mother's love. Today is Diwali, which is also connected to a mother's love in a disturbed way. It was Kaikeyi's love for her son, Bharat, forced Ram into exile. But it was the love of the residents of Ayodhya that was expressed in this day when Ram returns and their hearts open and to embrace them by lighting the deep, lighting the way back to their own hearts. So this is a now celebrated, like today, as a grand festival. And in Vrindavan, when Krishna was present, it must have also been a great festival. We've heard later in the Srimad Bhagavatam where this pastime is more elaborately described, how on this particular day, Mother Yashoda took perhaps the opportunity of the day as a great festival time, wonderful celebration, thought, my naughty boy Krishna keeps going to others' houses and breaking the pots of yogurt and butter and stealing. Is there something wrong with my own butter? Something. I will make the most extraordinary butter for my child. She relieved her maid servants of the house to go to do something else. I'm not sure what. And she began to churn the yogurt pot herself. But this was not any ordinary yogurt. She chose for this occasion the milk of the special cows. Now, I've become a little confused on this. Somebody clarify for me. The cows were called Padmagandha, or the grass was Padmagandha? I've read two things today, so I'm not quite sure. But in any case, Padmagandha has something to do with these cows. And they were very, very, very special. And they were eating the most special grass. And they were producing the most special milk. And Mother Yashoda was going to churn this. And she was churning. And as she churned, She sang. She sang the pastimes of baby Krishna. This was the life of the residents of Vrindavan. To keep the pastimes, to keep Krishna constantly in their thoughts, to keep Krishna constantly on their minds. If Krishna was not there, present before them, enacting some wonderful, beautiful leela, they would remember it by singing songs of those leelas. They must have been excellent rhymers. Today in the West, there's a genre of singing by those who can instantly rhyme. In the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we had his Keshav Kashmiri, right? The pandit who came and in an instant composed, 100 Sanskrit verses? We have trouble rhyming in English. Although there are some pretty good rhymers around. And in Sanskrit. But the residents of Vrindavan, this was their life, to rhyme and to sing and to think about Krishna. And in this way, Mother Yashoda's churning that sweet yogurt into butter and singing about Krishna, just thinking of Krishna. She had a pot of that extraordinary milk boiling or getting ready for making some preparation for Krishna. And Krishna, in the nearby room, hears and gets up. Yes, Mother Yashoda is making something wonderful. He comes and stops her churning. Okay, put aside that. Now it's my turn. Yashoda picks him up, embraces him. Her milk is overflowing from her breasts. And Krishna immediately embraces his mother. The mother's love. In most religious traditions, God is worshipped as Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is that heavenly Father. We relate when we speak of love of God in most traditions. It's like the love of a son or a child or a daughter for the father. Sometimes that love, the love of a father for a child, is also described, God's love, as being like the love of a mother for their child. Because we experience, we have some mothers here. And we have some fathers. As fathers, we have first-hand experience of the love that a mother has for the child. The child who grows within the womb. Let's remember that Yashoda has no real awareness that Krishna didn't... Well, actually, Krishna did come out of her womb. She carried him. The love began from that initial time, carrying the child, anticipating, then going through that hard labor. It's described that Mother Yashoda's labor, what I've understood, was not easy. It apparently it was so difficult, her labor to bring forth baby Krishna. Actually, there apparently were twins. To bring forth baby Krishna was no easy affair, and so difficult that she was asleep when Vasudev came. So carrying the child, nurturing that child, bringing forth that child and then watching the child as the child grows fully dependent on the mother. Only mothers can really understand the depth of this love that naturally arises in the heart for the child. And here we have Mother Yashoda, absorbed in complete love, unalloyed love. I remember as a very new bhakta in Buffalo. There's no other Buffaloians here. No? Okay. Satyanarayan's not here. Anyway. He and I, Satyanarayan and I, were you in Buffalo? You're from Buffalo. Okay. Hare Krishna. Jai Buffalo. So anyway, Satyanarayan and I were together in the Buffalo Temple. And somehow, you know how it is after many, many years, you know, only a few things stick in the brain, right? You know, I mean, us oldies in the room can testify how things get forgotten. I forgot somebody's name this morning and I feel embarrassed about that. But anyway, we forget. But some things stick. Right, some things stick in the, and they don't. And one of the things that is stuck in my brain is in that Buffalo temple. We were Satyanarayan and I and other devotees were we were preparing this new temple room, scraping off the, and the word unalloyed love somehow got stuck in my brain. I was thinking unalloyed, the meaning of that unalloyed, with nothing mixed in. Today in India, we go to the market and we rarely find anything that's unalloyed. We find something that's mixed with something, right? Something pure, something that has nothing else. And we also experience in our own lives how our own feelings, our own activity, nothing is pure. There's always some mix. We try. But there's always something there. It's not pure. To conceive of something so pure is beyond us practically. And yet we hear of it and we can appreciate that Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna was unalloyed. Nothing else. There was no selfishness in that love at all. Not a speck. Now this pastime as it unfolds seems to have a little bit of, you know, self-righteousness in the mother. Well, you know, I'm mother, you know, you're supposed to obey me. And some of us, at least as a father, I know that I've had occasions with my children when they've been naughty and where I've gotten angry with them. Really, actually angry. Anger not born out of just love, and I'm expressing that anger, which we've seen from our dear Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes express anger, but you always felt that that anger was coming out of love. Not out of ego. That's right, Shruti Kirti? It was coming out of love for us. It was real, as anyone can testify. It was not a show. But it was not based on feeling offended or, you know, my position has been, you know. But in my own case, you know, I must admit that I've found myself getting angry with my children because, hey, wait a minute, who, you know, I'm your father. Come on. But Mother Yashoda's love is also not, there's no tinge of her own ego. Only concern for the welfare of her child, because she has no idea this is Krishna, the supreme person, the controller of everything. She has no idea.
extraordinary things happen. You know, Trinavarta demon, the Putana demon, all these things happen, incredible things. And yet she just, it doesn't even enter her consciousness that this is some extraordinary being that doesn't really need me. No. Mother Yashoda's feeling is that my Krishna needs me. And when she hears the pot of milk boiling over, and the acharyas talk about how the milk being conscious, right? Everything is conscious in Goloka. That the milk was feeling neglected, and how are we going to serve Krishna? Krishna is going to drink the milk of Mother Yashoda for eternity. Her milk is unlimited. It will go on and on forever, and we'll never get to serve Krishna. We might as well die. And they leap out of the pot to commit suicide in the fire. This is what's described. And Mother Yashoda hears and says, that's that special milk I'm making. And Prabhupada makes an interesting comment about this in his purport. He says, sometimes the devotees are faced with some choice between this service and that service. There's one service to do, but then there's another service to do. And, well, what do I do? I'm supposed to do this. I'm sure, Tikirti, I'm sure you've had a number of occasions with Srila Prabhupada. I've got to do this, but then I also have to do this. What do I do? Prabhupada describes in his purport to this that Krishna guides the devotee. Which to do first, which to do next. So Krishna somehow behind this whole Leela has inspired Mother Yashoda to leave him and to go attend to the pot. And in this way, as described in this verse, what is it says that the Lord where does it say here? Somewhere it says he wanted. I can't exactly find out, but it says that he wanted to bring this out. He wanted to show the love of his of Yashoda. So the pastime unfolds. Krishna, now he's angry. Now he's been enjoying. He's been relishing the milk of Mother Yashoda, and now he's been put down without being satisfied. He's not like, you know, ready. No, he wants to go on, and all of a sudden he's down. And I'm sure all the mothers here, if you've ever had that experience, know what goes on, what the child does immediately. Wah! Angry! What's going on? He picks up the rock nearby, and that beautiful pot of the churning of yogurt, he takes and smashes it, takes the butter, and just starts walking on those two little feet. He's walking by this time. And he walks on those two little feet, and he grows on, and he finds the grinding mortar, which is used for grinding the spices, and there's a pot of butter up there, and he gets up on top of that pot, and he breaks that pot, and he calls all the monkeys, and, you know, he's really into it now. And the monkeys come, and they have a feast. I heard some other lecture by another devotee describe, I don't know where this is from, so please, the source is very, very, you know, good, so I assume that person heard it from some reliable source, that those monkeys were Hanuman and Sugriva, and who had never had the opportunity in their Leela with Ram, and today is also to remember Ram, to enjoy such pastimes, and now they can. Mother Yashoda, after attending to the milk, comes back and sees the broken pot and knows there's no one else that can do this. And she sees the little footprints
of her baby, her child Krishna, smeared with the yogurt, little white footprints, and she follows those. And Krishna turns and sees Mother Yashoda with a stick in her hand. And what does he do? What would you do?
Run.
Run, yes, run. So Krishna starts running. Krishna starts running. And Mother Yashoda starts running to catch him. And Prabhupada describes how the gyanis, the yogis, they're running to catch Krishna, to catch the Paramatma, to find the Lord, to find the truth, and they fail. But Mother Yashoda, despite her slim waist, her heavy breasts, she's running, and Krishna's a little child. You know, they can run also pretty fast, and they can go into little places. And so, but she catches him. And this scene that Kunti is describing here, the scene of Krishna now caught by his mother with a stick, bursting in tears, just drenching his face, and this ointment of his eyes is just smearing and crying. Oh! Mother Yashoda sees the fear in her baby. That's not what I want. She puts down the stick. It's okay, it's okay. It's okay, Krishna. It's okay. But you've been very naughty. Just like a monkey you are. Breaking pots, doing this and that. And then Krishna says, oh, I'm like a monkey? Yeah, oh, then maybe I'll go to the forest and I'll be a monkey in the forest, yes. Now Mother Yashoda's got another anxiety. If I leave Krishna in this state, he could do that. He could just run out into the forest where all those dangerous animals, and who knows what could happen to him. Now, again, to the mothers, we've entered into other kinds of forests, right, with our children, and they start running here and there. And what's the idea? What comes? Well, you better tie them up, right? Put them on a leash. Right? How many? Nowadays in the stores, they have special leashes for children, right? They're special bracelet here, special the harnesses, they're all varieties of child leashes for keeping control of the children as you go in different places. So Mother Yashoda had the same thought. I have to protect him. I have to protect my child. And teach him. You can't be so wild like this. You can't be so wild. If you grow up like this, who knows where you'll end up, like a street urchin. Control yourself. So she takes... Yesterday I heard from someone that she began by taking just a thread from her hair or something. A ribbon, right? Just something light, you know, just something easy, just to, you know, keep him there. But it didn't come together, so she takes some rope, and it's two fingers too short. And she takes more rope, and by this time, the ladies, the gopas, gopis in the area have heard the commotion. They come to see what's going on. And they're watching, and they're having a good time. What's going on here? Mother Yashoda, you can't even tie up your child. Your ropes are always, I'll help you.
and they bring more ropes. And still, that Lord who is boundless, that supreme Lord who has no limit, what rope can encompass the source of everything? What rope, what any thing in this world can come around the personality that has no limit, no bounds, that is Krishna? And the rope kept failing. And as Mother Yashoda's struggling, her hair becomes disheveled, the flowers are falling, she's perspiring, she's making this effort, she's determined, I will get every rope in the village, I will get every rope in the world, I'm going to tie you up, Krishna, teach you. I have to protect you, my son. And Krishna is watching, and now he's seeing this. He said, all right. He begins to feel a little. He showed us, now she's working too hard. All right. I'll be tied. And he's tied. Okay. Yashoda must have breathed a sigh of relief. Finally, finally. We've heard often about the significance of those two fingers. One being the effort, the intense effort that the devotee engages to serve Krishna. But it must be connected to the grace of Krishna. Effort alone, or as the Christians say, by works alone, you do not achieve the kingdom of God. It is by grace. But grace in response to effort. Grace in response to seeing the effort of the devotee. Our effort must be there. We must make the effort and depend on the grace of Krishna. So now, Mother Yashoda is a little sad, but she's still a little concerned, so she calls a few of the friends of Krishna to come and be with him, keep him company, otherwise, you know, he could really get wild. Who knows what would happen? So some of the small children, they're there, and they're saying, oh, Krishna, you're tied up. Oh. Should we untie you? Oh, no, but the... Krishna says, no. And then something extraordinary. All of a sudden, Krishna starts to remember something. He sees in the courtyard these two trees, and he remembers, ah, yes, Narada Muni, my devotee. He promised those trees something. Actually, as Prabhupada states in his purport on this, he said that actually Krishna had nothing to do with those trees. They weren't pure devotees. But it was Narada's desire that then prompted baby Krishna, all right, now is a good time. And he starts walking, crawling, tied to that mortar, flipping it on its side, and it's going forward till it lodges between the two trees. Now, these are huge trees. They've been standing there for how many thousands of years? Apparently, the curse of the Nalakuvera and Manigriva was to reside in the body of trees for 100 years of the demigods. So this is... they're there for a long time. They must have been massive, big, strong trees with roots. And baby Krishna has got a little mortar, a wooden mortar, and a rope. But that rope is not an ordinary rope. What is that rope? We're celebrating today this pastime of Damodar. Damo, the rope. Udara, the belly. We celebrate this rope because it's not a rope of jute or hemp or whatever that might have been made of. Externally, it may appear. But the rope we're celebrating is the rope of love. That rope of love, Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna, was so strong. That rope was so strong that it could topple those trees of ignorance that encased the Nalu Kuvera and Manigriva. It's interesting to note in the description of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narada Muni comes across these debauched sons of Kuvera, he enters into a very interesting preaching to them, talking about how a rich man cannot appreciate the suffering of others or the needs of others. Better to be poverty stricken, and then you can know and feel compassion. So in this way, these two sons of Kuvera were being taught this lesson. The young friends of Krishna who were with them, they're watching all of this going on. The trees fall with a loud noise, and all the other inhabitants, Nanda Baba, Madhi Yashoda, Rohini, they all come running. What's going on? Trees have fallen down. I've skipped over the appearance of Nala Kuvera. They've already gone back to their heavenly abode. Different things have happened. And they ask the little boys what happened. They begin to describe all these beings, the trees. Krishna took the mortar and he pushed it and they fell down and these beings came out and they were all like this, and then they went up to the heavens, and the gopas looked and said, "Boys, imagination you have is just incredible. There must have been some wind." And Yashoda, however, she's devastated. He could have been killed. And Krishna is not forgiving at this point. Nanda Baba asked, "Who tied you up anyways?" And he said, Ma did it." Oh. And Krishna runs to Nanda and takes shelter. "Ma, she did this to me, Ma." And some exchange takes place, described in the Bhagavatam. But it eventually, there is, Mother Yashoda at this point is really, really devastated. I've not only endangered the life of my son, now he won't forgive me. She's completely beside herself. I did such a terrible thing. Finally, Nanda says a few things to convince child Krishna. And he runs back, "Ma." And they are together again. And the mother's love has been raised again another level. All these pastimes Krishna enacts simply to raise our love, to bring it up, to enhance that love, and to experience that same love. The mother's love, the friend's love,
the lover's love. So we stand here like Kunti. We know, we've heard, we understand, we don't have that good, that level of love for Krishna that we could forget. We forget in a different way who Krishna is. We forget who Krishna is because we are focused on ourselves. We forget Krishna not out of love of Him, but out of love for ourselves. And we forget Krishna. But we can stand here now to hear about Him, to see that love in its full expression, to appreciate it, to feel some ability to understand it through the mother's love, because that is the one love that we'd all have some experience of, most of us. Although, you know, some of us have not been so fortunate to experience our own mother's love. And of course, as fathers, we don't maybe have, we have a different kind of love. But we can see it to some extent. And we can appreciate the selflessness in that love that approaches the pure love of God. So, today is a wonderful day to remember these pastimes, and continue with this celebration of the month of Kartik, which has been called the Damodar month. This is the, there are many things that happen. Govardhan Puja is just coming tomorrow. Another extraordinary pastime. But this pastime has been chosen somehow. I'm not sure exactly how, but anyway, someone somewhere chose this pastime to signify this month, this most glorious month in our whole year, in which, what it is said that our Prabhupada describes the month of Kartik to be like the sail. It's like the, you know, what's the biggest sale in America? It's sort of the Thanksgiving sale. You know, there's a Black Friday, right? There's one day in America, the day after Thanksgiving, or the fourth Friday of the month, I guess. They call it Black Friday. I don't know why they call it. It's the deepest discounted sale. People line up in front of the places that they want to buy their stuff the night before. People camp out. There are images of stampedes practically to get into the stores to buy out those things that are on deep, you know, 50%, 60% off, discounted. That's Kartik. Kartik for our devotional efforts. A little effort in this month of Kartik is magnified, they say, 1,000 times. And in this month, this Leela is chosen as the deepest expression of that mercy, Krishna's mercy. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I suppose, Hare Krishna. I don't know, Pancho, you can tell us, do we take time? If somebody has a question that they feel they have to ask, because it's already 2 minutes past nine, so, well, you have right to do anything, so, okay. One question. Oh, okay. Hey, Krishna. Not you. You don't have a question. But if anyone has some, if I said something that is, or something you want to add that really will, otherwise, Hari, oh, one question. Is mother's love the same as a father's love? Are you a father? Ask your wife. She'll tell you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.